Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Bonnie Kay, and welcome to the Straight Wives Talk Show. This is a hard-hitting show that discusses the complexity of marriages between straight women to gay men. Each week, my guests and I discuss issues that affect over 4 million women in this country and millions more around the world who find themselves unknowingly married to a gay or bisexual man. If you have any comments you would like to make during this broadcast, you can email me and send it to bonkay@aol.com. That's bonkaye@aol.com. And I'll be happy to address it. Before I introduce my guest for tonight, I just want to mention that I will be once again resuming my newsletters. They're going to be quarterly. And I sent out an announcement to people who were receiving them stating if you want to keep receiving them, please let me know. And it was very overwhelming. I've had over 2,300 responses in the last 10 days, so I'm really excited about that. But if you didn't get that letter or your email address has changed and you would like to get the newsletter, please let me know, and I'll be happy to put you on my list. Once again, send to bonkay, B-O-N-K-A-Y-E, at AOL.com. So without further ado, I'd like to welcome my special guest for tonight, Cindy. Hi, Cindy.
Hello. How are you, Bonnie?
I'm doing good, and I really appreciate your coming on the show. I had the extraordinary pleasure of being able to meet Cindy last year at our California get-together and in our healing weekend, and I was just so impressed with her because she brings so much to this situation tonight, as you'll be listening to her. A lot of times, many of our women have had long-term marriages, and they look back and they can't understand how all the years of confusion and all the years of abuse. But then there are some, like you, Cindy, who when you first came to me told me that your marriage was a good marriage, a long marriage,
yeah,
and a good marriage. Is that right?
Absolutely. I felt like he was my best friend. And I was happy. I was married 43 years, and I was happy. We never fought. He treated me well. He was a great father. But now I can look back, realizing after I have discovered what I discovered, little things that now make sense to me that didn't at the time. But I was young when I got married. I was only 20. I knew no differently. So I accepted, you know, how he treated me, and he treated me nicely. But there was never, I always felt like we were just friends. It wasn't romantic with him. It was just like we were buddies. And even his kisses to me, I always think of, remember how he kissed me. His kisses were like grandma kisses. You know, and I look back and I go, but again, I didn't know any different. I was so young. And, you know, I loved him, I have to say, for 43 years. But now I realize, when I look back, I love the man he pretended to be. And I now know who he actually is. So, you know, it's been a difficult. The first year, I want to say, was shockly after the discovery of things. But then there came that period of acceptance and realizing I have to think of myself and that it's no longer about him.
So when you got married, what year was it?
I was married in 1974. I married my high school sweetheart.
Okay.
Of course, he was the first man I ever had sex with. And so I didn't know any different, but I always felt like when we had sex, it wasn't, it was more like he serviced me, you know, like three steps, one, two, three, done. But again, I didn't know any different. So I just accepted it. I loved him. We had three children. Life went on. I had a career. He had a career. He traveled out of town all the time. You know, so it was really, I have to say, a shock. I was just shocked when I discovered, you know, gay porn magazines, dildos. I discovered that he had contracted hepatitis B, which, you know, he had with an encounter with another man. But I had discovered this 10 years ago. I discovered gay porn magazines, and I confronted him at the time. And I asked him about, what are these gay porn magazines? And he said to me, oh, they were a joke. And I believed him. He said a bunch of guys were playing a joke on him. But 15 years later, he went in for a minor heart procedure. And this anesthesiologist came in and said to me, you know, Mrs. So-and-so, how did your husband contract hepatitis B? And my husband's there, and he's like half, you know, getting his sedated. And I said, oh, it wasn't hepatitis B, it was hepatitis A. And I'm arguing with this doctor that his records were wrong because my husband always told me it was hepatitis A. And this anesthesiologist took me by the arm and looked at the computer with me, laptop, and said to me, you need to go get tested. You need to take precautions. Your husband is a hepatitis B carrier. And he walked away. And I
can you explain that to people who are not familiar with that, Cindy?
Yeah. From my understanding, hepatitis B is usually contracted. It can be IV. It can be through blood. It can be through, usually in the gay community, through anal sex. And when I heard that it was hepatitis B, I immediately thought back 15 years prior when I saw those gay porn magazines, and I knew. And for 3 months, my husband had this procedure. He recovered, but for 3 months, I didn't say anything to him. I went home, and I decided to snoop, and I just played detective. And I always trusted my husband. I would never look at his phone or in his briefcase or his never. Well, I did. And when I started looking, it just got worse and worse and worse. And that's when, you know, there were gay porn sites. There were gay bar hookups. You know, I looked at the at where he was going on his map quest, and usually we were to adult bookstores. I found receipts for gay porn magazines. I instantly knew that my marriage was over. I instantly knew that I was not going to stay with this man who I dearly loved. And when I confronted him with all this evidence, of course, he denied. He first, the typical response I got, as many of us do, I was just bi-curious. Then I got, I'm bisexual. Then I got, it only happened one time. Then I got, oh, I only have gay tendencies. So it just went on and on to the point where I was even getting gaslighted, where he would tell me the truth. He would say, I might be gay. And then all of a sudden the next day, no, I never said that. That's not what I meant. I would write things down. It finally got to the point where I wanted to know the truth from him. And the only way I felt I could do it was to trick him, and I did. So I played along with him, and I said, Kent, I really, that was my husband's name, I really want to understand what your needs are. What do you need? And I said, you know, maybe we can work something out. And that's when he said to me, and I'll never forget it because I did this over the phone. I was on a business trip, and I called him, and he said to me, that he would need to have sex with a man about once a month. And then he told me that a young guy would be a turn-on for him. And I had tears in my eyes in the hotel room. I kept it together. But I knew, I said, I just knew I was done. And, of course, he said that to me. I wrote it down. I remember those are his words. But when I got home and confronted him, he told me he had never said that. So that went on about a month, and I got a little bit of admission from him that he had felt that he might be gay in high school when he got into the locker rooms with, you know, the shower locker rooms after football. He would become aroused, and then he would get out very quickly. And this man, I feel for him, he does not want to be gay. He had written me a couple notes. He calls homosexual the curse of homosexuality that he's had to deal with. And one time he said to me, I want a relationship with a woman. I want to have sex with men. He doesn't identify even to this day as gay, but I finally decided it does not matter anymore to me how he identifies.
Exactly.
If he wants to identify as gay, bisexual, bi-curious, I know he's not faithful, and I know that I want a relationship being truthful and honest. And if that meant for me to live alone, that's what I wanted. I would not stay in a relationship. I would then become, I'd had knowledge, and I would be in that closet with him. I just refused. I couldn't do it. And I knew instantly my marriage was over. I'm done. But I will say for 6 months, I tried to fix it. You know, I tried to bargain with myself. Oh, could I live with it, you know, if he went out once a month and I didn't know about it? Could I live with that? I couldn't do it. I would be the one making all the compromises. And it finally happened. A couple things turned for me. The healing weekend we had last April, where other women like me and their stories were so similar. And the other thing that helped me tremendously, I saw Dr. Brian Hooper, and I remember he helped me focus on me. And he also showed me the manipulation that my husband was doing to me, because he would say things to me like, no one will ever love you like as much as I love you. He even threatened suicide. I have a gun. I bought bullets. And finally, I realized my husband's narcissistic. He is not going to kill himself. He loves himself too much. It's just not going to happen. But Dr. Brian Hooper helped me with, focus on you now, Cindy. I determined I need to make the best life for myself. And I wasn't going to go down that rabbit hole of being bitter and angry, because I was 63 years old when this happened. And I said, I don't have time for that bitterness and anger. Now, I was mad, and but through that stage, I want to say very quickly, and I got busy on focusing on me and what I wanted. And I got a good support system. I have two girlfriends that helped me tremendously. They listened to me for hours, and I couldn't have gotten through this without them. And then I just got busy with my life. I got busy joining book clubs, volunteer work. I got active in my church. I got active learning pickleball. Anything new, I just went into and got my own life together. And it's been an experience that it has been, I had overwhelming sadness is the best way to describe my first year, because I missed so much my life of what I thought I had. But reality was, uh-huh, I didn't have what I thought I had, but I had overwhelming sadness because we had just moved to Florida, we're ready to retire, and I had discovered all this. So it's been a process, but at the same time, I want to just emphasize, I am so happy today. I am in such a better place, and I have a good life. So, you know, this, and we're on good terms. My husband and I, we have three children together. I've made mistakes in this process. One of the mistakes I want to point out to, and you had cautioned people about doing this, I used my children, two of my daughters, I have two daughters and a son, and I used my children initially, just my daughters as a support system. Big mistake. Uh-huh. I shared some details about their father I should not have shared. And, it just wasn't appropriate. And afterwards, I realized that was the wrong thing to do. I apologized. I said, I am sorry. I should have never done that. And the bottom line is, he is a good father. He loves his children. He'll do anything for his children. He's just not a good husband. He's a gay man married to a straight woman. You know, so that doesn't work. But that's one of the mistakes that I definitely made. Another mistake I made was probably not disengaging with him a little bit sooner, because as soon as I disengaged and wasn't involved with him on a daily basis, I was able to focus on myself. As long as I was engaging with him, that just held me back. So that was probably my two biggest mistakes, I would say.
Well, I'd like to just make a few comments, and you can tell me what your thoughts are. I think that when I first initially met you back, we spoke back in 2018, and it was a time of total disaster after finding out all this news and, accepting it. And one thing I do have to say that I totally agree with, that when I went through this myself, you're desperately looking not to break a marriage apart. And in your case, it was a good marriage. In my case, it was not a good marriage, but I had little babies, so I was trying also, like you, to bargain. What can I live with? And I think many women go through this, and in my own head, even as disgusted as I was and as upset as I was, I remember having a conversation with my ex-husband that day and saying to him, I remember exactly where it was, what spot it was in, and having the conversation, stating to him, if once every 6 months you disappear for a few hours, and if you're with a consenting adult and I don't have to ever know about it, I can live with this. Because I had to really think in my head, what could I live with? Because that's how stupid I was. Okay, I was really stupid about it. I thought that I could set down those boundaries for him. And if he said okay, which he did, then I felt, okay, I'm going to live with it. But once every 6 months became once every 6 days or once every 6 minutes practically. Once you give permission for anything, it's just like an open door for these guys. They feel, well, if you could live with that, you'll live with a little more. So there really is... we try our best to hold on to these marriages by bargaining and thinking, what can we live with? And I know sometimes women feel that, why did I ever do that? Because we are loving, caring wives. We're not looking to break up a marriage. We're in shock when this all happens. We don't know how to handle it. 43 years in a marriage is a lifetime. I mean, I have to tell you.
Absolutely.
But I will also say this, because in retrospect, looking at your marriage versus other marriages, because you're an important part of our support network, and we see many women who suffer a long time. They're not able to move ahead. But I think part of the reason, just knowing some relationships and some marriages of women who I've worked with over the years. If you've been in a marriage like yours, that was a good marriage. You know, there was love there. There was kindness. There was not abuse. You know, you worked as a team. Even though I think the sense of betrayal is even deeper, and I really do believe that, I still feel the healing time is better.
Yeah,
I feel the healing time is shorter because, you know, a lot of these men, if they're married a number of years, they become so abusive that you're not just recovering from the news that they're gay, but you're looking how abusive they were to you because they were gay and didn't want to be married to you. So I think it's good. You know, I think it's a good thing to remember as a gauge for women that if you've been in a good marriage, you know, you can move ahead sooner and you can restart your life. And it is easier than when you come out of 20 years or 30 years of being knocked down and made to feel like you're beau.
Exactly.
I think that's what should.
I will say, I never lost my self-esteem with him. I always had a good self-esteem. But I knew that if I stayed with him, you know, the 6 months that I was in shock and trying to figure out if I could fix this, I was playing detective. And I did not like what he was doing to me. I would... Every time he would come home, he didn't realize it, but I found the codes to his laptop. I found the code to his phone. I was on there, and he was still engaging in this activity. But meanwhile, he's telling me he's not. But I knew he was. And I said, that would be my life. I would be playing detective the rest of my marriage. And I didn't want to do that either. So it changes you. You know, he was changing me to a person I didn't want to be. So
exactly.
But
I think that knowledge is important, and I think that we need to know the truth. And even though people say, well, why do you keep looking for the truth? Once you know it, well, there's something in us that has to confirm it over and over. But when we finally confirm it enough, that's when we say enough is enough. Because
I
who wants
validation.
To have to believe that their husband's gay, right?
Exactly. And I wanted that validation so badly from him. And I was never going to get it. And I already had enough. My girlfriend who stuck with me, she goes, how much is enough, Cindy? Because I would just, I had 20 items that I realized he is gay. He is having affairs with men. He will never be faithful to me. How much more did I need to know? And it came to the point where, because the other part of me, Bonnie, I discovered a world I didn't want to know anything about. It was just disgusting to me. Not that, and I have plenty of, believe me, I have plenty of gay friends. I have gay cousins. That's not, he's in a different world of, you know, I'm not sure, you know, I found evidence of things that, anonymous sex, perhaps with strangers, and it just went on, and I just had enough. You know, I saw enough images, and I just wish I could get some of them out of my mind, to tell you the truth. It's just was, I found it disturbing. And what the bottom line was,
I find it disturbing too.
I lost total respect for him. I have no respect left for him. I feel pity for him. But I've lost total respect for him. I care about him, and in some weird way, I love him. But, you know, it certainly isn't a romantic type love. And he has his own struggles, his own demons. But he is out there, again, looking at dating women. And, you know, still seeing men and, you know, gay massages and whatever on the side. So...
I know, and what's so sad to me is that these men just can't accept who they are, because it's true, like you were saying, like he doesn't want to be gay, and I know that my ex-husband didn't want to be gay either. He wanted to have women for a front, women who were going to take care of him, women who were going to do things for him, and he did. I mean, even after our marriage was over, he had a girlfriend for about 3 or 4 years till she passed away from surgery, but she was so devoted to him, so dedicated to him, you know, doing everything, which is what he wanted. That didn't mean he wanted to have sex with her, because he made up all kinds of stories that he had cancer, he couldn't do it, you know, while he was having plenty of sex on the side with guys. And it really disgusted me. you know, to see this going on. But these men, they go,
yeah.
keep, you know, like they're serial criminals. They keep going out,
yeah.
finding women,
yeah.
and destroying their lives,
yeah.
right?
Yeah,
because
absolutely.
No woman.
I can even see, I really feel at times I was used, and I hate to say the term beard, but I look back now because he was in the corporate world and we had to meet with,
mm-hmm.
you know, other business associates. He showed me so much affection in public.
Right.
And, I mean, instantly would hold my, it was like a performance. I would walk in a meeting or a conference or a dinner meeting, business meeting with him, and I would go to greet him. He'd get up and kiss my cheek. He never showed me that attention privately. But
mm-hmm.
when we were out with other couples or out in business dealings, it was like a performance. Boom. And I felt loved and important because of it. I look back now and think, oh, my God, he was putting on a performance for those people around him. You know, so
exactly.
those are the things.
And that's
that
part
are,
of the manipulation
yes.
that you felt, right?
Exactly. And the sad news was when I finally told him I want a divorce and this is over with, his first concern, his first words out of his mouth was, what are you going to tell people? You know, I'm an image guy. I'm a self-image guy.
Uh-huh.
And that was his concern, more about what I was going to share with other people. And I told
uh-huh.
him, I'm going to tell him the truth. And that's another point to be careful about, I want to say. I never,
uh-huh.
I had a few close friends I confided in that knew the truth. But most of my friends or acquaintances, you know, I would just say I had trust issues and we got divorced. And that was sufficient. And they didn't pry.
Uh-huh.
But there were
uh-huh.
a few close friends I took in my confidence and they knew every detail because I needed
uh-huh.
somebody to be there that I could talk to. And I'm glad
Absolutely.
I had those close friends that supported me. But I wasn't one. And I was also the one that had to tell our three children because he was never going to do it. And I had to be
uh-huh.
careful about it. But I basically, you know, let them know. I just said, your dad is struggling with sexuality issues. And if you have any questions, to go to him. And I let them know. And I told him that I told him that. So to this
uh-huh.
day, he has not talked to any of them. It's just like they see their dad. They love their dad. They are doing okay. One of my daughters is kind of struggling still. But two of my children
uh-huh.
are pretty good. You know, he is a good father, has always been involved. You know, but I'm sure it's been challenging for them in some way, too.
I'm sure it is. I mean, just knowing that he's leading a life that he's not being honest about in itself is a challenge, I would think. But I find it interesting. I find that girls always feel sorry for their dads in almost all cases.
Yeah.
That
and
a
my
lot
girls
of times they'll alienate their mothers.
Yeah.
Ironically,
yeah,
and
yeah.
be closer to their dads, you know, feeling
yeah.
sorry for
and
their dads or that. Mm-hmm, go ahead.
Yeah. Yes. I have one daughter that I think is like that, you know, and I do my best to never say anything critical about their father and just be very positive because he is. I mean, we have grandchildren together, too, and he's a great grandfather. You know, I cannot
uh-huh.
say that if you would – he really is a good person. He's just struggling with his sexuality, you know, and he shouldn't have been married
uh-huh.
to me and he should have been truthful, you know. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think that it's so many different issues that you have to peel apart. You know, you see the good on one side. You see he's a good dad. You see that, you know, he's been a friend or
yeah.
you thought – you know, that you had a decent marriage, that you had things in common, you did things with couples. And,
exactly.
you know, now to have to peel away all the other stuff and kind of but I think what you're doing is, like you said, you had to put it to the side and start taking care of you and not get
exactly.
drawn into his drama and to his needs because
right.
you're not married anymore, right?
Right. And, you know, as women, as I always put my husband first. I put him first. I put my children first. And I thought he did the same with me. And I just could not believe the betrayal that he never thought of me first, that it was always about him. I was just shocked. You know, I just could not, I felt that he loved me the way I loved him. So that was kind of a hard struggle for me of the betrayal. And once I realized.
Did you go for any counseling at all? Did you decide you wanted to go for any counseling?
Well, it was funny because my first counselor was Dr. Hooper, and he put things in perspective for me very quickly. So my husband, I encouraged him to go to counseling, and sure enough, the manipulator that he is, he went to this counselor who specializes in gay issues, and he convinced this counselor that he was not gay, that he just had a fetish. And this counselor believed him, and he convinced me to go in and have a private session with this counselor who was trying to convince me that he was not gay. And when I sat there, I listened to her, and I said, okay, that is fine. But then I went down my list. Boom, what I had. What about this? What about this? And she got completely quiet. And after that, what did he do? He never went back to her. You know, he couldn't manipulate her anymore. He was done. So his purpose in going to see that counselor was to convince that counselor to convince me that he wasn't gay. So that didn't
work. And you know what? Unfortunately, there are counselors who are just not educated in this field and who believe that same thing. You know, they think it's a fetish or tendencies. I don't even understand this word, gay tendencies. What is a gay tendency?
I don't know what they're talking. Yeah.
Right?
That's
if you have a gay tendency, it doesn't even make sense to me when people say, well, I have a little bit of gay, I have a gay tendency, I have, you know, bisexuality or bi-curious or, you know, any of those words to me mean goodbye. I mean, it's over.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It just means you're not straight. And that's really what it comes down to.
And when you said that, yes, and you have said that so many times, that just clicked in me that I was so trying to focus on him getting to tell me that he's gay. You know, I just wanted him to tell me. Then I finally realized it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter anymore. What I had discovered was enough to just say, I'm done. So I don't know how, you know, where he is on this spectrum of sexuality or whatever. I don't even care. It was just to the point of it's not a marriage I want to be part of. And I was so ready to just, I remember about, it took me a year. And I remember after a year and I had got involved and I woke up and I thought to myself, I am really happy. You know, I did it. I survived it. And it was just that I had truth, I had honesty. I was alone, but I had good friends, a good network. I love my grandchildren. I got involved. And I went traveling. You know, I went on 3 solo cruises. I just got busy with making a good life for myself. And I thought, truthfully, I started to date a little bit. And it just wasn't the right time. I would go on a lot of first dates. You know, and I said, no, I'm not doing this. And I got happy being alone. And then I think I told you, recently, Bonnie, I shared with you that I have recently met someone. And this man is
so
just,
excited.
I am so happy. And, you know, I thought to myself, should I take this chance with him? And I thought to myself, oh, Cindy, what I have survived, if this man for some reason decides that he doesn't want to be with me, that's okay, because I only want to be with a man that wants to be with me. So I also thought, it's okay. And right now, it's not so much the words that this man says, but it's how I pay attention to his actions and how he treats me. And it is so nice to be treated like a woman. I cannot express. I never had that before, to just be treated like a woman and to be desired as a woman. It is just so different for me. It's like a different world. And I didn't know I was missing that until I had this now in this relationship. And it's relatively new, just a few months. But it's so, it's genuine. That's what the word is. It's just genuine.
So let's go back to that for a minute. You know, you had a long-term marriage. It wasn't a bad marriage. But as you mentioned,
yeah.
there wasn't really much sex involved in the marriage or making love for sure. So
no.
even though, you know, you were friends and you thought things were going good and you made excuses for him not having sex with you, right?
Exactly.
When he would tell you that he had ED and that, you know, so you
bad.
Felt sorry for him?
I sure did.
Is that right?
I felt bad for him. I felt bad, yeah, because he said he had ED and he'd get really frustrated. You know, when we were going to have an encounter, and he would just get
uh-huh.
so upset and he would blame me. You know,
uh-huh.
he'd blame me that it was my fault because I had a hysterectomy. You know,
uh-huh.
or, you know, at one point I had gained some weight. So I thought, oh, geez, I better lose this 10 pounds, this 20 pounds. You know, so I was always thinking, is it me? But you know what? I just kind of knew, no, it's not me. You know? I just kind of
uh-huh.
in the back of my mind thinking, he has ED, I feel sorry for him, I don't want to pressure him, you know. And he would always, like, give me this hug, and as I said, just these grandma kisses. He was never a passionate kisser, never, you know, and I accepted that. I thought that was just, you know, these little pecks is all I got, like you would kiss your grandma.
Uh-huh.
I look back now and I go, again, I just didn't know any different. I was so inexperienced. I just didn't know
exactly.
any different.
You cannot blame yourself, because as I tell our women, most of our women who are in the situation got married when they were younger, before there was
yeah.
information around. And because why would we put two and two together and get seven when gay means you want to be with somebody of the same sex, you're not looking to marry somebody of different sex, there would be
exactly.
no hints or clues, I mean, to even indicate to us that there's something wrong sexually with someone when they're telling you how much they love you and they want to be with you and have children with you. So,
right.
But it's still, I feel that even no matter how good a relationship is, that without sex or having any kind of deep and passionate making love, I feel it's really losing your feminine spirit. Did you feel like that too?
I did, you know, at the age, when this happened at the age of, but, you know, I think back to my 30s, I wasn't having that much sex with my husband, but I thought I
right.
had a career, we have young children, but he hit the
uh-huh.
age of 50 and he stopped having sex with me because he said he had ED. So I called
right.
my friends, some close girlfriends, and to tell you the truth, Bonnie, about half of them were having sex with their husbands and half of them weren't. And, you know,
uh-huh.
and I thought, okay, well, maybe it's normal.
You're half
you know,
a dozen.
Some of my girlfriends, yeah. And so I kind of rationalized that, too, because some of my girlfriends were saying, yes, they did, and others were saying, no, this doesn't happen very often, or their husband had prostate problems or the same some issues, or they were having issues. So I just kind of accepted that it was an aging thing, even though it was 50. You know?
Uh-huh.
Again, I just...
And even though it wasn't
great
in the 40s or 30s, right?
No, because it was just so... as I said, it was just like he serviced me, like something he had to do. And that
uh-huh.
was the best, something he had to do. You know, and it
right.
was
in
just...
Right, in fact, I have a friend who I met originally when I started doing this back in 1982. I was running a
yeah.
support group every week back then, and I was very friendly with a
yeah.
couple. The woman has since passed away, but, you know, I'm still friends with her husband, ex-husband.
Yeah.
And I remember when I first met them, and I was laughing so hard because, she said they were intent on keeping that marriage together, which they did for a number of years till it couldn't stay together anymore. But
yeah.
She said, and I insist that he have sex with me every Friday. And I said, really? He says, yes. If he wants to stay my husband, I don't care what he does in his own life. He is going to have sex with me, whether he likes it or he doesn't like it. He is going to service me. And he didn't
yeah.
like it, but he had to do it, so he did it. So,
yeah.
I mean, I found that kind of odd to want to have sex with
yeah.
someone who doesn't want to have sex with you. But that was her way of coping
yeah.
in it, I guess. So I live
yeah.
when I think about that. But that's what it was like, servicing her. And some of
yeah.
these men, they'll do it. They'll fantasize. They'll close their eyes. They'll pretend they're with someone else. They'll make you turn around. They'll do all kinds of things. I know they were having oral sex, and people would say to me, well, he's gay. Why would he have oral sex? Because he couldn't have any other kind of sex, because he couldn't get an erection and maintain it. So there's all kinds of things with these men that, you know, they have to do to perform. But that's why, you can have sex. But the whole point is you don't want to just have sex. You want to make love with someone. You know, and that's why, even though your friends may have said that, you know, they're not having sex in their 50s, hopefully at least they had it in their 20s and 30s and 40s to know what it was like. And, you know, at least if you build a relationship with a straight man and you know what making love is like, there are lots of reasons later on why men, you know, may be having trouble having sex. And some of them do go for help, and they do. But with gay men, that's not the problem. They don't have ED. They have FD. Female dysfunction.
Exactly.
They don't want to be with a woman. Yeah, they have the wrong letter there. Not ED, FD. But
true.
So now
very
that
true.
You're with somebody and you've met somebody nice, and I think it's so wonderful that you're able to do that, but you didn't jump into anything. You know, you went on some dates, and if it didn't work out, you cut your losses, right?
Oh, I did. And it was like the first year. It's been almost 2 years since I've been divorced now. And my divorce, I want to say, again, it was very, it wasn't complicated. We just sat down, we did it ourselves, 50-50. So I didn't have the issues of fighting. Again, he, you know, he's got some qualities to him that, you know, he wasn't being nasty during the divorce whatsoever, or trying to hide finance. So that went very smoothly for me. But I did go on a few first dates. And, you know, I just, it didn't feel right to me. And it was just like one date and I'm done. And, you know, then I just was so, I made a life for myself. And I said, you know, it's okay if I'm alone. I'm doing fine. And so I was just surprised to meet this man that, you know, I was just involved in volunteering. And I met him, and he also goes to my church. And it's just happened. I guess, you know, so maybe the timing was right. I don't know. But, you know, I'm in a very good place with him right now. So been in a year, I could give you a good update.
Oh, yeah, if I'd like to hear a good future date. You know, you know, the fact that you found a man who's kind and good and who makes you feel good as a woman, you know, at this stage of your life, it's just beginning all over again. And hopefully a lot of the things that you missed along the way, even though you had a good relationship, maybe when you look back on your marriage, you can say there were things that could have been better if he had been a straight man. Do you ever think about that?
Yeah.
Are there any keys, like red flags that were waving that maybe you didn't see?
Well, I hate to say this, but I look back now and I feel like I was more his mother. And I hate to say that of myself, but I felt like I was always taking care of him. In a different way. I mean, I know that wives take care of their husbands, but with my relationship with him, I look back and I think, well, maybe I did too much, because I was always the one that took care of everything. And he let me, and he liked it. I mean, he would travel on business. He didn't even go with me to buy a house. I would buy the house by myself. I would buy cars by myself. You know, so he just wasn't involved. I just did it all. I mean, I would take the kids and go on vacation with the kids, and he wouldn't come. You know, so now I look back and I go, what, you know, so I'm trying not to make the same, making different choices now in this relationship. I'm stepping back and kind of letting him take the lead, more or less, and letting someone take care of me instead of me always taking care of them. And it's kind of nice to have somebody taking care of you. You know, it's kind of different, you know, or being, and I can think he does just lovely things for me, you know, that I wouldn't even, you know, what I don't know, little things like what I like at the grocery store he'll buy, or cooking me meals, or, you know, just little things that were never done for me before. So, but yeah, I look back and I go, I don't want to fall into what I did before. So I'm kind of, you know, that was a red flag. I don't want to be a mother, you know, and I think maybe he looked maybe he looked at me like I was his mother. I don't know, but that kind of creeps me out to think that my relationship that I thought was a husband-wife was different, and it was different. Yeah, so.
One of the things I'd like you to talk a little bit about also is that after the marriage was over, as far as setting boundaries and moving away from it.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times these guys just want to hang.
Yes. I did not. That was another mistake that I made. I should have pulled the Band-Aid off all at once and said, you're done. You're out of here. And I didn't. After our divorce, which our divorce was quick. I want to say, you know, we agreed on everything and no attorneys involved. So that was fine. But he said he wanted to live here a little longer. And because his lease, he couldn't find a lease. And I agreed to that. That was ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was just, he should have just been gone. As soon as I had discovered what I had discovered, he needed to leave. But I didn't do that. I kept him because it was just hard for me to let go of him. It was hard for me to, I had a hard time disengaging with him. So that was one of the things that was difficult for me. What I do now with him is I don't get in conversations with him. You know, like I want to say like even a month ago, I finally told him he wanted to come down to Florida and stay at my house for a few weeks because he said he was going to come down and golf and all this. And I finally said, no, I said, I'm seeing someone. It's not a good idea. So he tries many times, and that's when I still get the manipulation, and that's when he says, I bought a gun, I've got bullets, but I'm not going to use it. Again, these manipulations. It has no impact on me now. I'm totally indifferent to it. It doesn't bother me what he says. But I go more to text now. If he texts me something about the kids, I may respond in one or two words, and I'm done.
Uh-huh.
I don't seek to engage with him anymore. But it took a while to get there. It took a long time.
Oh, yeah, it really does. I was never good at that.
It took over a year to get there. And then I don't share the details of my life anymore with him. You know, like then he sent me a long text wanting to know details about who I was seeing and what he did and all this. And I didn't respond to him. It's none of his business who I'm seeing or what, you know, none. All I told him was I'm seeing someone and that's it. So I don't share new details of my life with him anymore. And, you know, just the kids, you know, I just want to stay. We will always stay on good terms because of the children and the grandchildren. But I don't have to, you know, if I talk to him maybe once every 6 months, maybe that's even too much, you know. And with text now, if there's something about the kids that we need to address, I can do it on text and we're fine, you know. So, but you're right, setting boundaries. I had a hard time with that. I had a hard time. You know, just letting go of even talking to him and having conversations. It was difficult because he was my
best
friend.
You know, when you're with somebody for so long and, you know, your life is, you know, intertwined with their life, no matter good or bad, you know, it's just hard to make a break. And plus the fact they know how to manipulate. I know that for me, I over-talked my whole relationship for too many years because I'm an empath, you know, it's easy for me to feel sorry for somebody and, you know, they're narcissists and they know how to wind you up in all of their sorrows and their problems. So, once again, it's really easy to fall into that trap. And in fact, while we're talking about that trap, next week on my radio show, I'm really excited because I know this will mean something to you too. I have Dr., you know, Margalla Selstad coming on.
You had
the opportunity to meet her at our meeting. And you know, she's really good at teaching people how not to be caretakers, you know, because I'm definitely, I'm definitely a caretaker.
And I am too.
I think we all are. I think that's why they go for us, because of the fact that we are caretakers and we don't know how to set our own boundaries and we do fall for them time and again. But it's really important to set those boundaries. And does he have a good relationship with the children?
He does. I want to say he does have a good relationship with the children. I would do nothing to jeopardize that. Know, so which is good. And you know, he's a very likable man. He's very engaging. People like him, you know. So yes, I mean he's and you know, he'll be very engaging with other women. And I know he was dating one woman here locally, but now he's moved out of state, which helps a lot that he's out of state now. So my contact with him is more limited, which is a good thing for me. But he'll find another woman. He's just a very engaging man. He will be able to do that quite easily.
I know, and that's what's so sad, is that some other woman's going to have to be, you know, in some kind of danger also. Or, you know, be sucked in by him. And, well, who knows? Maybe people will see things sooner than we do, because today people have more information than we did.
Yeah.
Or,
you
know, like I say, maybe they'll have an alert somewhere that something's not quite right sooner than we did because we didn't know any differently.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, exactly. Oh, exactly. Because it was so... I want to say I've always been a person that researches everything, you know, when something, so when this happened to me, I found you, you know, very quickly on the internet. I read your book. I sent you an email. You were so kind and reached out to me in a telephone call. And I remember you said to me, well, now you know, and now you got to deal with it. So,
yeah.
And I'm thinking, you're right. Now I know, and now I got to deal with it, you know. So,
Once you know, that's when you have to just come to terms with it. And once again, it's the worst news anybody wants to hear. And nobody wants to hear it, because to me, once you have those words out there, there's just no way to change the situation. But I think a lot of us, after the marriage, we see things more clearly that we were going through. And things that may have annoyed us or things that may have bothered us, now we realize it was a form of manipulation to protect their identity, or to protect, not their identity, but to protect their secrets. At any point in your marriage, did you ever feel that he might have been cheating on you with a woman?
Yes. Yes. There was an occasion with one of his female secretaries years ago. I felt that there was something going on, and she had wrote him a love letter, and he denied it, and I confronted him on that, and, you know, I was disappointed in his character, you know, because I had thought that he was above that, but that was just, you know, that was very early, maybe in his 30s, like 35 at the time, that had occurred, but again, you know, never thought a man until, you know, just a few years ago, just, you know, 2-3 years ago when I had discovered, it was 2 years ago I discovered all this. Yeah. So, yeah, never thought, never. So
it was the hepatitis that gave you
that final doctor clued me in, absolutely, absolutely. That was the clue that I knew. Without a doubt that he had been with a man. And that's, you know, then I got the excuse that, oh, it was only one time and he was drunk and that all, you know. And
yeah, I think that's important to also state, to let women know that so many women come to me with the same story. He had a moment of weakness. Oh, that was my ex-husband's story, moment of weakness. And it only happened one time. So I say that gay husbands have a different counting system there. 1 equals 100. They forget to add the 2 zeros on the end. 2 equals 200. Because it's nothing for them to go and have these encounters like you were mentioning about bookstores. You know, and I think I was so stupid when I first found all this stuff out. Like the one woman said to me, oh, my husband always goes to these bookstores. And I said, well, maybe he likes to read. You know, I had no clue what they're doing in these bookstores. Mm-hmm. That they actually have these booths with the glory holes where you can just stick your penis through it and have sex with some anonymous person at the other end. And that's what they do in the bookstore.
I also found the 1-800 escort numbers, you know. Those type of services too. So I don't know. I mean, I just was done. It's just that I didn't need to know anymore. As I said, and I put it on my cell phone because every time I would feel sorry for him, I just made a list, and I'd go back and I'd look at that list and I'd say, I'm done. And I recently found, this is the last 6 months, I found him on a site looking for a male-male relationship. And I took a snapshot of it and kept it on my phone because my girlfriend says, take a snapshot of that. And every time you start to feel sorry for him, Cindy, you just look at that. So that, I do that.
But maybe
too,
that's good. Maybe he'll want to have a real relationship and not go after some woman. You know,
exactly.
Maybe he can come to terms and just have a nice relationship with a man and be who he is and not have to keep trying to
and
be
I
who
would
he's
be,
not. Right?
And believe it or not, I could accept that and be happy for him. I cannot be happy with him deceiving another woman. Yeah.
Exactly.
So,
So, any last thoughts that you have? Because you've been amazing as far as sharing your story and your thoughts.
I just want to tell all the women out there that it gets so much better. It will get better. You will be happy again. And, you know, onward. And that's been my motto through all of this, has just been onward.
And I think that's the most important message, that you can start over. I know a lot of women don't think that will ever happen again. You were one of them when I first met you. You said, well, this is it. I'm not going to be meeting anybody else. I remember that. And because you don't think you can after some kind of disaster like this. But not everybody wants to. Like you said, you found happiness on your own also. And some women are very happy and content to live on their own. But for those women whose hearts open up again, you know, like yours did, and certainly mine and many of our other members, you know, who have had their hearts open up and found really wonderful relationships again, there's always hope there, right?
There sure is.
So
there sure is.
How are things in Florida now? Quiet? Now that nobody can leave their home.
You know, quiet and isolated. But it's easy to socially isolate in Florida. We have beautiful sunsets and, you know, so it's not too bad, and the weather's great, so I'm not going to complain about social isolation in Florida. It's pretty nice.
I just hope that everybody's staying safe, because this is a terrible epidemic that we're going through right now, but hopefully, like
Isn't
everything
it?
Else, it will pass.
It will.
Life will get back to normal, right? So
once again,
all of our listeners, thank you so much for listening in. I hope Cindy's story will inspire you. Certainly it's inspired me. And Cindy, you're a woman who I will remember always. And I hope next year we'll have an update from you and have you back have good news.
I'll keep you posted, Bonnie. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you, sweetie. Love you.
Love you too.
Good night
bye-bye.
To all of our – bye-bye. Good night, everyone.